Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joining us this morning. What's happening?
Good morning, Greg. Not much. We had a city council meeting last night that had a good amount of conversation, so it was a good, healthy meeting with some conversation about the Fair Chance Housing ordinance that ultimately ended up passing on final reading last night.
Yeah, the vote was 5-1, so pretty solid support, Derek.
Yeah, it was 7-0 at first reading to advance it to second reading and final adoption. And I'll say that Council Member Will Forgrave, who helped introduce the ordinance with me and supported it, wasn't able to make it last night, but just had a is a new father, just had a little baby girl with him and his wife. So congratulations to him. He wasn't able to make it out last night, but certainly understandable. And what we ended up doing with the ordinance, we made some minor modifications. We actually extended the effective date of the ordinance out 90 days so we could do some education around it in the community. Mm-hmm. Added landlords to that education process as stipulated in the ordinance. I think we made some changes to how landlords advertise, or the prohibitions on how they advertise, to ensure that landlords can't advertise contrary to the ordinance. That would be saying that, you know, those with prior arrests or convictions need not apply. And then we changed the period in which those facing adverse actions have a period to rebut any sort of charges levied against them that would deny them housing, from 14 days to 7 days. So we made it, I think, a bit with some of the conversations that we had at the previous meeting. I took those into consideration and some of those considerations to make it maybe a little bit easier within the landlord community. I put those back into the ordinance, and those passed. And ultimately, the entire package passed on a 5-1 vote with Councilwoman Laura Schlechte opposing.
Was there much public discord there, or just the normal?
You know, I think there was a lot of public support that came out for the ordinance. A lot of people that wrote testimony to citizen comment, you know, for the past maybe four meetings or so. In terms of the opposition, I hadn't heard much. In terms of opposition, I heard landlords that say, you know, they already do this, which is great. Mm-hmm. That just means that they're good landlords that already are not discriminating against those with prior arrests or conviction records that don't have any significance to the safety of the surrounding neighborhood. But, you know, I also heard from landlords that say that they do discriminate openly against people for a variety of different arrests or convictions, including, you know, just simple resisting arrest charges that this ordinance is attempting to do away with, and that sort of discrimination for those that have maybe made some mistakes in their past and are trying to secure housing within our community and get their lives back in order. And I think that this is a good policy. I think it gives both sides a fair shake. And that's, I think, why it got the support that it did in the past two council meetings and the support that it did within the community.
So you gave it 90 days. What's the mission there, to get out into the public? Who's going out?
Yeah, well, I think the city, we have some work to do to continue to communicate it within the landlord community. and within the different tenants organizations that we have across the city, so that people know what the law is going to be and when it goes into effect. There is a within the ordinance, I think, a year kind of grace period before any charges can be levied, and there's also kind of a warning as well. So first offenses for those landlords that are discriminating are warnings, so that we're doing what we can with the new policy to ensure that those that may not intentionally violate the ordinance are given an opportunity to learn the policy and correct behavior.
They're going to be difficult to police that?
I don't think so. You know, we have a really strong human relations commission. We do have some vacancies on the board for those that are interested in serving, but the human relations commission, in working with the city attorney's office, is going to be enforcing that ordinance. They already handle, based on their duties and responsibilities in the city code, they already handle a lot of work within the discrimination space. They actually already enforce the non-discrimination ordinance. So I think it makes sense for them to enforce this Fair Chance Housing Ordinance as well, as it relates to discrimination against returning citizens.
So 90 days, that will take effect.
90 days it'll take effect, and there's, you know, some other grace periods that we built into the ordinance, and as with any other ordinance, we'll continue to tweak it and fine-tune it. But I think overall the intent with any ordinance is to have voluntary compliance, so that we're not having to enforce it, and similar to the non-discrimination ordinance, which, in addition to being a law, is a value statement that we're not going to tolerate discrimination in the city, and we're not going to tolerate it against the LGBTQ community. And here, I think we're making a strong statement saying that we're not going to tolerate against those who happen to have made mistakes in the past that have no bearing on their citizenship now. And happy to say that, you know, we're a leader in this endeavor and in this policy. There's only a handful of other cities that have passed it, and I think that the city of Ann Arbor is going to be following Jackson's lead and passing something at their next a similar policy at their next council meeting. So kind of good to be out front and good to be leading on these matters of civil rights and social justice.
Well, you hosted the governor Monday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We hosted the governor. Governor Whitmer came down for the kickoff of Women's Week with the Jackson County Chamber. She actually came on International Women's Day and spoke to the Jackson County Chamber of Commerce. I delivered a proclamation, and she kind of talked about some of the stipulations that she had proposed within her budget that spoke to driving gender equity, which was exciting. And then we actually went over to the Lansing Avenue Bridge to talk about some of the work that's being done in partnership between the state of Michigan and the city of Jackson. So people have probably seen the Cooper Street Bridge, an intersection on-ramp, off-ramp, and the rest of Cooper Street. And that kind of as a gateway treatment to the city. The city expended some funds to make that look nice. And we're going to continue to partner with the state on the other projects that are coming both this construction season and next. We're going to be with the state rebuilding the Lansing Avenue Bridge over 94 to be a little bit higher and wider than the current bridge to adjust for the widening on 94. Rebuilding the I-94, 127 West Ave interchange to be a diverging diamond That's going to improve traffic flow and create a really nice gateway treatment on the northwest side of town. And then we're going to be rebuilding in the next construction cycle here shortly Elm Avenue and the Elm Bridge over 94 to include roundabouts on eastbound travel. And then westbound is going to have two roundabouts on the other side, both at the exit ramp and then the Seymour Road area. So that'll be a beautiful new interchange itself. And the governor came down here to talk about kind of get some information on the projects from the MDOT director, and then, you know, also see how it fits into, you know, the state's bonding initiative to bond for more resources to get our streets and roads and bridges fixed.
Well, she signed at least a portion of that COVID-19 recovery plan. She didn't bring a check with her, did she?
No, but we are excited about the Recovery Act rescue plan that is coming down and navigating its way through Congress, and has been hopefully going to provide a lot more resources to cities like Jackson. So we are working with the National League of Cities and the Michigan Municipal League to figure out what that looks like for us, what sort of resources, what sort of number that is, and then the stipulations around those stimulus dollars. But we look forward to, you know, putting together a you know, stimulus package here locally with those funds to help ensure that those that are struggling, the residents and tenants, continue to be able to stay in their homes. Those people that are struggling continue to be able to pay their utility bills, and you know, some of the businesses that we have here, how we can continue to keep them afloat. Because I, you know, I think we're starting to get the vaccine out, and to that effect, we just opened up the King Center on Thursdays from 11 to 5.
Yeah, it was kind of unclear who can, because I know it said in your press release that, that walk-ups are accepted, and I didn't quite understand that. And certainly not anybody can walk up and get it, right?
Yeah, so those that are eligible, so it's, you know, 65 plus, I think that the March, sometime in later March, I want to say the 22nd, they're going to be extending that to, you know, those that are 50 plus with a previous existing condition. But people should always just contact the Jackson County Health Department for the latest news and check out, you know, what, as this rapidly evolves and changes and more vaccine becomes available, I think that some of that information will move faster than a weekly, you know, update from the city or what have you. So people that are interested in getting a vaccine should check the health department website. And yeah, you know, we hope to expand the hours over at the King Center and continue to open up other locations. We had opened up the fire station up on Pringle when we were doing first responders, and I think getting into the south side and into some of the most underserved areas of the city and opening up the site at the King Center is going to be great. But yeah, it's a, you know, challenging time, but I think that getting the vaccine out and then combining that with the use of some of the stimulus dollars coming down from the federal government is going to allow us to really help reopen Jackson and kind of reinvigorate our economy at the same time that we're trying to protect public health.
You are seeing some light at the end of the tunnel?
Certainly a lot more optimistic than 2020, which, you know, doesn't say much.
Yeah.
It is just a you know, incredibly crazy year, but you know, I certainly optimistic with what's coming out of the federal government now. with the fact that we have some serious money coming in terms of federal stimulus coming down into communities like Jackson, and the fact that, you know, people are doing their part to social distance, to wear masks, to wash their hands, and do what they can, even if they have a vaccine, to protect other people. And I think that that's what's going to drive us out of this pandemic even faster, get us back to some degree of normalcy, and heck, maybe even have a roaring 20s again.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. Hey, thanks, Derek. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Have a good one.